Hello, fellow saints, and welcome. We're so grateful that you're here today. Thank you for your support and standing with us in advancing the kingdom of God. If you'd like to give today, we invite you to do so, but please know there is absolutely no pressure. Your presence and prayers mean so much to us. For those who choose to give, your generosity makes a real difference, and every gift, no matter the amount, is deeply appreciated. Please know that 100% of all proceeds go directly toward our nonprofit activities and outreach. For more information about our outreach programs and community, you can visit our Instagram page. Giving is simple. You click the Make a Gift link in the navigation menu or scroll down to the bottom of this page and follow the link provided. Thank you once again for your kindness and faithfulness in sowing into the kingdom. Together we are making an impact. Thank you for tuning in.
Greater love for Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for your will, your way, your direction, your guiding light, Lord God. We ask you in the name of Jesus that you would just use this time to minister to our hearts. Touch us in places, Lord God, that has not been touched, Lord God. Give us a thought pattern from the words that are spoken today where we will start to reach deeper and know more about you, Lord God. We want to desire and we want to know more about you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that as I decrease, you would increase in me to teach your people your word. And I ask that you bless everybody under the sound of my voice in Jesus' name. And all those that agreed said, amen.
Amen.
Y'all didn't get the roll. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. We're in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 7. Now, I hope you guys realize the power that we just came out of. All of that power and all these things that are taking place in one is for this purpose here. In 2:7 it says, that in the ages to come, that he might show his exceeding riches of his grace. And how, in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. So, in the ages, in the times, the established times to come, God is trying, God did all this, made us sit together in heavenly places that he could show his exceeding riches. But not riches of things that we want, riches of grace, so that he could show his grace and the riches of that grace towards us, not towards anything else. Mm-hmm. See, people, one of the most obscure words and one of the most strangest and hardest words to explain to people out of the Bible is grace. Grace is unmerited favor. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't pay for it. You can't do anything. But grace is above everything that is in the earth and any operation that is in this earth. Because grace is God's direct love and tender kindness, which he sheds towards us through his son, Jesus Christ. You say, people, oh, why am I getting Jesus? Why do I need to read the word? The reason why you need to have Jesus is because without that, you cannot know the exceeding riches of God's grace. See, you cannot know his unmerited favor towards you. You cannot know the depth of his love. People say, oh, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. Yeah, but you don't know the word of God. You got to take these things into account. Look at what it says. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. So the showing of his riches, of his grace, is directly attached to the salvation that comes only through Christ Jesus. See? And then when you know more about Christ, you know more about his word, then you start to see abundant grace, which is the abundant life, which is God's unmerited favor. See, and people, they don't get the end game of this because they do not understand grace. If you understood grace, you would not get caught up into the law. If you understood grace, you would not get caught up into legalism. If you understood grace, you would forgive everybody that's ever did anything towards you. If you really understood grace and how all the things of this world and all the sins of this world and all the things hamper God's love going towards us, then you would give up everything. This is like that pearl that is in the field that you have to sell. You got to give up all the hurt, all the pain, all the things that have happened to you, because this pearl, grace, through the word of God, is worth more than anything you can even think or imagine. You can't even fathom how good grace is. Let me give you an example. Just think we all died and we went to heaven. And in heaven, every time we turn around, God is blessing us with something new. you just got blessed with something new, and you didn't even get a chance to examine it and see how new it is and examine all the things, and then God bless you with something else. And then he bless you with something else. And it could be his presence. It could be just the warmth, just the peace that passes over. It doesn't matter what it is. Heaven is going to be a continued time of blessings. It is total bliss in God. And it never runs out. It's for eternity. See, if you could fathom that, then you can start to pick apart and understand how deep his love is towards us through this thing called grace. That's why through grace it is called his tender mercies. They are tender towards us, even though we don't deserve it. See, this is how God is showing his love abroad to us. Going to the next one, it says in 8, for by grace you are saved through faith. That is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So just think of this gift, grace. Every time you turn around, here's a new gift. Now you get another gift. You don't even get to enjoy this one before you got another one. And now you got gifts just stacked up, gifts multiplied. That at any time you think about getting bored, you can just go turn around and discover what that gift is. See, this is what he wants for us. And people never get to the place where they understand, what am I going through all this for? What is my choices here on earth? What does that matter? This, that, and the other. Because if you get Jesus Christ, if you know what eternal life is, to know God as the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom he sent, and you get that down in your spirit, then you're going to have gift after gift after gift after gift for eternity.
Amen.
For eternity. It never runs out. This is the beautiful thing about God's grace. It is an endless supply of blessing. But it's only toward those who have stepped past themselves and let go of all the stuff that they had did and all the stuff that people had did to them. See? And let it go. It's not for those. This is a part of the beloved. Remember when we were in 1, and it says how he has made us to operate in the beloved. I forget which one of that. It says in 1:6. It says Ephesians 1:6 says to the praise of his glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. See, that's a whole new group of individual. He did. So now he's taken sinful man and loved him and let that man love on him. And even in his sinful state, he loved God more than anything else, even his own life. So he gave up everything to buy this pearl of the word of God. And that word of God got in him and changed him and transformed him because he saw a work there. And now when he gets to the place where he's in abundant grace, he gets this. He's a part of the beloved. God created a new individual upon earth. Yeah. You know? He's more than just a man. He's beloved by God. See, now we're into a place when we're there where to the praise of his glory of his grace, we are going to be praising his glory of his grace. Why? Because we have been accepted into the beloved. See, but we got to let everything go. We got to let everything go. You're not just getting away with getting things away and getting things done and stopping things just because it's something that we religiously think you ought to do. You're doing that from your heart so that you don't have no hindrances between you and God, because what you're fending it, what you're getting ready for, what you're getting in line for is abundant grace. And that's worth it. It's worth it. There's a scripture in Acts or Corinthians, I believe it's Acts, says, for eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. You can't even begin to fathom how great this is that he has. And the only way we can explain it is grace. We don't even have a word in this world to call it anything else but grace.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? So he says in 8, going back to 2:8, for by grace you're saved through faith. It takes faith to get this salvation that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So no man can work his way into this. There's no anything you could read. There's no anything you can see. There's no road you could avoid.
That's right.
To get this.
That's right.
You just got to trust in him no matter what comes your way. He says in 10, for we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works. So in Christ, we were not created for the bad things that happened. In Christ, we are created unto him for the good things that are going to happen. Does that mean bad things don't happen? That's not true. In this earth, you're going to have tribulation. See? But God has overcome the world. You're going to have tribulation. He said, but don't fear. I have overcome the world. See? It's like, could anybody be Christ just for a moment? Not that we're all that in a bag of chips, but just be there from the place of the trajectory of his life, knowing that you were put on this earth to die a gruesome death more than anybody else for people that don't even love you. Mm-hmm. And you think that we know he went through that like that, and you would think that you don't have to go through anything? Mm-hmm. No, there's a cost and there's a price. Mm-hmm. Now, we could pay the price by humbling ourselves and don't get caught up, or we could pay the price of sin by getting caught up and taking things in our own hand. Mm-hmm. Either which way, there's a price. Mm-hmm. There's a price. So he says here, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ on the good works. So that means God has created us. We are his workmanship. We are his handcrafted, carved out, individualized creation that he puts up and props up and says, look at what I did. See? And then he goes on to say, which God has both ordained that we should walk in him. So there is an established ordination that we should walk in him, in Christ. Why? Because we are his workmanship. Why? Because that is the road you got to travel to be able to get to the place where you can be accepted into the beloved. So that he don't have to question whether you're worthy or not. He just want to give you a gift. He already knows you're not worthy. But look at all that you sacrificed for him. Now I want to sacrifice for you for eternity. See? Nobody gets to hear this story, but it's written. Mm-hmm. Listen, 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. So, of course, we know that's the removing of the foreskin.
Yes.
From the male anatomy. Okay, we understand that. But we got to remember that we were in time past Gentiles. We were in time past Gentiles. So if we are no longer Gentiles under the new birth, what are we? God's creation. Mm-hmm. We are more than just a Jew. Because the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free. We're more than that. We're God's workmanship. We are his crafted, individualized gift that he gives to himself. See? Something that he shows off and say, look at what I did. See? So now we have become the circumcision. And that is the walk through Christ. To go from an uncircumcised bastard to becoming a circumcised man of God. Let me say it again. to go from being an uncircumcised bastard. Why a bastard? Because people like to use that as a curse word. It's not a curse word. Bastards was a term that directly described a person who did not have a father. If you did not have a father, you were known as a bastard. See? And then they changed it later and made it into a curse word. Okay? But spiritually, we are uncircumcised and we are bastards. We were created by God, but we don't have Him as our Father. See? To the place where He has created anew in us and called us the beloved of God. And now, we have become from uncircumcision to circumcision, and now we are saved. By grace. Mm-hmm. Only because He so loved us. We're saved. See. This is a very simple message. But it's one that has to be seen the way it has to be seen. In 12 it says. That at the time. Ye were without Christ. Being aliens. From the commonwealth of Israel. What is the commonwealth of Israel? God. That's something. All of Israel was going to receive the promised land. All Israel was going to receive God unless they openly rebelled against Him. They were already in His house. It was a wealth that was common. You hear what I'm saying? We on the outside, being uncircumcised bastards, we had to reach for the circumcision. To become what we need to be so that we were no longer aliens. Christ bridged all that together so that all men of all walks of life, all of mankind, will be able to cry out, Abba Father, and redeem themselves as Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He redeemed us from the sin that was in this world so that we will be free to worship God the Father and call Him Abba. Because that's the open door to becoming a part of the beloved. Once you become a part of the beloved, then God doesn't have to worry about what you're going to do. Because He knows you're not going to do anything apart from Him.
Amen.
Because you are beloved.
Amen.
See? So, 12. That at that time we were without Christ, because we were without Christ, we being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. So there are people that are walking around having no hope, and they are without God in this world, even today,
mm-hmm.
even now. They think they know, but they don't know. Because all of this is attached to His word.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know. Number 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So those of us who were uncircumcised, we were far off. Now we're made near, we're made nigh to Christ. By what? The blood of Christ. The blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. This is why He said it is finished. He didn't come for all the other things everybody else came for at that time. He came to bridge the gap. He came to put a bridge from mankind's foolishness to eternity. And anybody that would open up the door and walk that narrow path will receive the things of God. All the promises, all the benefits, not just because He was a Jew, but just because He loved God. See, this is the message that people need to hear. This is what needs to be taught so that churches would understand what is their hope. What is the glory of God that they're hoping in? They don't even know. A lot of them don't even know what eternal life is. They think it's something way up past the skies, past the stars. That's a place, but it's not. That's not what eternal life is. It goes on to say in 14, for he is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So there was a middle wall of partition that separated us from God that we could never get to. That wall was sin. And until Jesus paid the price for the sin and we were washed in his blood, we were never able to get to God. And that is why in the holies of holies, when Jesus died, he said it is finished. Then the curtain in the temple of the Holy of Holies, where God's presence dwelt, was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Not somebody running together from the bottom. No, way at the top where people couldn't even reach because they weren't that tall. The curtain was torn. The partition between God and man was broken by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we had access to enter in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people take this for granted. We got to stop that. So he says here in 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, which is undying conflict. Jesus having abolished in his flesh through his death, basically, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance. When he died on Calvary's cross, he didn't just abolish the undying conflict. He also abolished the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So he made of two, the sinner who could never get to heaven and the Jew who was promised heaven. Mm. He made in two, one. And they called him a new man. We get saved. The Bible says, behold, you are a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why? Because the door is open for you to run to the throne of God and get it.
That's right.
But it's got to be your choice. You got to run this race like Paul ran this race. You have got to reach for the mark of the high calling.
That's right.
This relationship has got to be between you and God. It cannot be between you and the church. It cannot be between you and your wife, you and your husband, you and your brothers and sisters. It cannot be you and the teachers. It has to be between you and God. He didn't open it for a plethora of people to get on. That's why the road is narrow, because you can't have nobody standing behind you, beside you walking on this road. Now, somebody could walk behind you and follow you as you follow Christ. Or somebody could be in front of you, leading you to Christ. But they cannot walk hand in hand following Christ. The road is too narrow.
Enter in any other way.
That's right. So, he says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the undying conflict, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, which is two, one new man, so making peace. So he made peace through bringing the bad and joining it with the good and then meshing them together by cleansing us through his blood.
Amen.
Making peace. 16 says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, the undying conflict thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. So he came and preached peace to them that were afar off, those that were totally lost, and those that were near, nigh. Mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm. He came and brought it to both sides so that this is the new way. Enter ye in straight at the gate. See, this is the new way. And then he goes on to say, 18, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with saints, with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. 22, which is the last one, says, in whom we also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we are built together for the what? Habitation. So God wants to abide in us. He wants to come and make his habitat, his living with us. He wants to live in you, and he wants to live in me, so that when we come together, he is magnified. Then he wants to live in Steve, so that when all three of us come together, he is magnified. Then he wants to take on Zaire, Juliana, Gabby, you hear what I'm saying, Jeremiah, and live in them. Because by the multitude of people, he becomes that bigger. But people are shutting him down because they're worshiping something else. Mm-hmm. They're worshiping the creature more than the creator. Mm-hmm. Who the creator is blessed forever. The creature is not blessed. Mm-hmm. They want to serve the creature. And then we as Christians, we want to go pat them on the back and smooth them over and make them feel all soft and tender as they're leading other people to hell in a handbasket. We don't want to give them the word. We don't want to tell them the truth. We don't even want to argue with them because they may shout louder than us. But that ain't got nothing to do with it. Some of these people, the Lord is telling me, we got to step away. You've done your due diligence. Step away from these people. You know what I'm saying? If they don't want to have anything to do with God, then let them go. You guys heard me say it before. I'm trying to get to heaven. And y'all want to go? Rest of y'all go to hell. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship. We love you, Lord God. And I thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you for making your habitation with us, Lord God. In Jesus' precious name, I ask that everyone under the sound of my voice would listen to the end of this message, and that they would go on and repeat the salvation prayer that comes at the end. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Father, I pray that every heart and every mind would be linked with you. In Jesus' name, and all those that agree said, amen.
Amen.
I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending your son. I accept Jesus now as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask Jesus the Christ to come in my heart and live. I choose light. I choose life in Christ. I choose truth. I choose the narrow way. I believe Jesus died for my sin. And according to the scriptures, that you raised him from the dead for my benefit. Heavenly Father, thank you for accepting me as your child. In Jesus' name, amen.
The evil ones dwell, cause they fail. What some like to refer to as hell, never unveil the downscale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one, make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun. You having fun, but in the end you'll be judged by the Lord, cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it, trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger, and get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. shout out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Plus when you die, that's where you're lying, ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despise. He tell you what you wanna hear, but you know we give the lies. Rebuke the keep on stepping, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what he say, it don't matter what he learn. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust don't get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.
What you would do, cause when it's time to get judged, see that's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors. And yet he forget you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus ain't no getting out though, you begging and yelling please. There is hope, seven seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it before you come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last days.
People.